Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. It is Saturday. We don't do a lot of shows on Saturday. We do them sometimes on Sunday nights, but we've got a great guest with us. We're going to add author to the list of amazing. I think this goes amazing author and awesome author, my two words that I love to use for people who do just the coolest things. And so Jeff Dawson is with us. Hello, Jeff. Thank you for being with me live here on the Best Ever You Show.
Good afternoon. It is my pleasure to be here.
We you never know what's going to happen on live shows. So, you know, if anything happens to the audio during this show, we will try our best to call back in or reschedule this for tomorrow. But it's a little glitchy today here in Radio Land. So we'll see how this goes. But Jeff is the author of the book Love's True Second Chance. And we've given this the Elizabeth's Best Award for January 2020 on besteveryou.com. And we love to give that award with books. It rallies our community behind the book and the author and gives it a little book boost. I know all of you on Twitter, I wanted to mention there's a Twitter hashtag that a lot of us follow who write. It's called hashtag writing community. There's also hashtag book boost. And hashtag reading community as well. So hello to everybody out there in those communities, because when we're done with this show and we put the link out, we're going to hashtag you guys and hopefully you meet Jeff and get a chance to take a look at his book. So Jeff, this is an epic book. I love this book, and it's a love story. It's heartbreaking. It's a little wrenching in spots. It's got all of these things that kind of are that we've talked before that kind of are the makings of a good movie, even maybe a great movie.
I agree. Yeah, one reviewer compared it to The Notebook, and I believe there are a lot of parallels between Debbie and mine's story and the fictional story Nicholas Sparks wrote.
Yeah, and all you need is one, right?
All you need is one. That's it.
So it goes. So I'm gonna borrow some of your questions here a little bit if I can, because I've just started this other website called Best Ever You Books, and one of my hopes for it is that we have like a little book club. I don't know how that'll go, but I'm going to do it anyway and see how it's embraced in our community. And I'd like for your book to be our first book in our book club. And you have taken the time to write some questions that people could chat about in a book club setting. So we'll kind of follow that a little bit, because I think this show would lend itself well to a book club environment too. So with that said, I love the very first chapter of the book. Sometimes people go to the end of the book, and I like to read the first chapter of the book to know if I'm going to continue on reading rather than the end. Do you want to talk about the first chapter of your book?
The first chapter is Debbie's last day. When I put the story together, it's like, okay, do we want to go through our whole relationship from high school and college? Then when we're reunited, and you know this isn't going to end up well. So do you want this big buildup knowing that she's going to die, or do I want to get that out of the way? And I got with her girls when I wrote it and said, what do you think? Well, they liked that, because that way, obviously, they were there on her last day of July 20th, 2009. But from that point on, they got to learn a whole lot about me and their mom when they were basically the same age, a few years younger, but but they could relate to it more. And for readers, I felt, you know, do you really want this big buildup? These kids finally figured it out. It took them 30 years to understand how deep their love was, and then you know that it's not going to last. Or do you just want to get it out of the way so you can focus on all of the activities and the relationship that we had over the years? And that's why I did it that way. The worst is out of the way. Now you get to actually meet Debbie and me.
Yeah. And let's meet Debbie and you for a moment. She sounds so special. And I'd love to know how you met, because it was back in high school. And tell us about that. I heard there's band involved.
We were both in the marching band. It was 1977. She was actually dating one of my best friends to this day, Clay Kammerer. And then he got a car, and apparently that took priority. And their relationship broke up, but I myself was dating somebody else, and that wasn't working out well, but I'm just too stubborn to throw in the towel and give up. And so when Debbie and Clay broke up, she was dropping hints the size of bricks. And, you know, what am I, 17 years old? I'm a real brain surgeon at that age. And I just wasn't paying any attention. I just didn't recognize it until the girl I was dating really upset me. So I had just out of the blue asked Debbie to go out. So we dated for probably about a month or two, but I wasn't done with the other relationship. And I went out with her one more time. Debbie wasn't happy about that. When I realized this other relationship wasn't going to work and told her about it, she goes, good, don't ever mention her name again. And from that point on, we were together my half of my junior and all of my senior year. And it was a wonderful time.
What made you guys at that point not continue on with that relationship? And might be a little young to get married or whatever, but why only a year and a half?
I was a year older, and I went to college and she stayed in high school. And I found out later why she called it off. She wanted a full-time boyfriend. Well, I'm in Oklahoma State in Stillwater. She's in Tulsa. I can't come home every weekend. And she wanted a full-time boyfriend, but kept telling me, well, that's not actually the case. And yeah, that was the case. So when she finally called it off, I was not a happy camper. Not at all. I was mad as a hornet when she dropped me.
Yeah, I bet. Did you guys keep in touch through the years?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, okay. So the mad
ran into her twice. I did run into her twice at college, and I can still remember this one day. A buddy and I had taken an exam, and it hadn't done real well. We're trying to figure out where we're going to go, drown our sorrows. And I looked to my right, and I saw this girl, and it's like, oh, that can't be her. Tell me it isn't her. Yeah, that was Debbie. She had this beautiful smile on her face, just came walking up and go, hi, Jeff, how are you? And I was like, not worth a damn. What do you want?
Oh, no.
That kind of eliminated her smile real fast. This was like 2 years later. I was still mad at her.
Yeah.
I was an idiot, but I was still mad at her. And then I ran into her like a year later with about the same meeting, and then nothing for 30 years.
Really?
Nothing, really? But, nothing.
Yeah. Now, if you think about that a little bit, does that upset you at all? Does that make
that
you
I was stupid
does
in
that
college?
Make you mad? Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'd go that far.
I am.
Well, you know,
that's exactly
college,
what
yeah.
it was. I was stupid at college.
Yeah.
I can look back and say, okay, if we'd have gotten back together then, I don't think it would have lasted because we weren't ready for each other.
Yeah.
I really don't think it would have lasted.
Like, you know, like no regrets kind of thing. You know, that commercial where it's spelled wrong even or whatever. You know, it doesn't sound like you're filled with regret.
None.
At all. Yeah.
No, that wasn't our path. We weren't supposed to get back together back then.
I like that. Yeah, well, I like the way you put that, too. For us self-help gurus, you know, we sort of think that a little bit. You know, there's a time and a place and a path and a this and a that. And it's interesting. Has this experience made you more, like aware? Or were you already, you know, like in self-help, we say, you know, awareness and all those things. Are you more aware and more in tune with who you are, as opposed to, you know, college Jeff saying, you know, I'm so mad at you or whatever. Have you changed over the 30 years? It's not a fair question. Exactly,
well, more people
but take
like
it and
me,
run with
that's
it.
What you mean. Yeah. I'm still focused, and some people have some adjectives I won't use at this time, but that's okay.
We all have those people.
more compassionate, more understanding.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But the setting has to be right. I mean, Debbie and I, when we got back together in 2009, everything was in place for it to work. Even though it was only 7 months, but everything was in place. So it wasn't something I anticipated. It was definitely something I couldn't plan for. And I just take it a day at a time and see what opportunities arise, even since she's passed. It's just, there was a greater plan at hand than what I had, and I've actually got a book where I talk about that called Why Did Everything Happen? We've got our plan. God's got another one. Now, which one are you going to follow? And we were put together when it mattered the most. That's what I can say. Mm-hmm. And I haven't, since she's passed, I haven't seen or been in that situation since then. It just, when it happens, it happens. And you can't plan for it.
Yeah. Well,
'cause I never thought we'd get back together. I really didn't.
Yeah. Take us through that as both readers and listeners of the show, the moment where you decided to go meet her again, to go meet Debbie again.
Okay. The timeline is after I got divorced, and each one was 10 years, I would put a business card in her parents' mailbox. So I did it twice and never heard from her. That was fine. Then I was in Tulsa in 2008 for my son's Muay Thai competition. And it's like one more time. Didn't even know if her parents lived there. Put the business card in mailbox and said, this is my last shot. This is the last time I'll do this. 2 weeks passed. I'm at work talking to the TxDOT inspector on a highway job we were working on. Waiting for a phone call from a female supplier. Phone rings, and all I hear is, Jeff, this is Debbie. And I'm like, who's Debbie? I don't know any Debbie. But then I asked, who is this? Who's calling me? Got real quiet. And then it was real slow. Jeff, this is Debbie. And then the light bulb went off. Good Lord, this is Debbie Beck. So I looked at the project manager and said, get out of my office. I need to take this call. And that's how it started.
Yeah. And did you know at that moment that she was not feeling very well?
Nope. Didn't know a thing. I didn't find, she didn't tell me everything that was going on in her life until I was away from the office and I could concentrate just on her. And then she told me that she'd been divorced, has kids, and she'd had a mastectomy in May. Had just finished up chemo and was still going through radiation therapy. And I told her, I don't care. I still want to see you.
And that's huge right there. And I bet, so you mentioned she had children. Were they receptive to you?
Not at
first.
Who's
this person?
I wish that's what the oldest would have told her sister, but she said, we're not going to like him because he could be an axe murderer that just got out of prison. I was like, oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no.
What a what a wonderful thing, because she introduced us, and I mean, after we said hi, they ran upstairs. They were gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And it was. And it just took time. In fact, I asked them, when did you all start accepting me? Well, the oldest one, it was the first day when she thought it was an axe murder, and I got hungry. Debbie was sleeping. She was passed out from some of her treatments. And I said, well, I'm hungry. We need to get food. Well, that the oldest daughter said, he's going to feed us. This is great. The youngest one, it probably took her 2 months before she warmed up to me. And I told Debbie that if your girls don't accept me, this relationship's going nowhere. Got it? And she said, really? And I said, I'm serious. I've been divorced. I've got kids. And if they won't accept me, then we can't go any farther with this. But over time they did, and we had a blast.
Yeah. And how are they now? Do you still chat with them? And how much time has passed? I'm sure they know about the book, but do they embrace the book and you and, you know, all those questions that go with kids? They're not
they
kids
the
anymore either, are they?
They were the first editors of the book. They were the first editors. They read it first, and I told them, this is about your mom. If there's anything in there you don't want, tell me and I'll take it out. And they both read it and said, leave it as is, because they learned a lot about their mom that she never talked about. And they thought that was really cool, since they were coming into their formative teenage years. So they really enjoyed it. The youngest is, as I understand, she's in college working on 3 master's degrees. And the oldest is going to be an optometrist, and I believe she's got a year left. And, you know, after Debbie passed, our conversations were pretty frequent. We kept in touch regularly, but, you know, life moves on. They're headed toward their careers. So we probably talk once or twice a year, which that's fine. That's all we need, and it's been hard for them, but they have adjusted to, you know, going through high school graduation, college graduation, without a mom. It hasn't been easy, but they've gotten used to it.
Yeah, and when she passed, did you become the girl's father? I don't, you know, it's a lot of questions and so forth. But, you know, I always worry about kids and moms and dads and all that stuff. Were they okay? In a sense, did they have their father or you to help them get through those moments?
I stayed there. Her parents came down and started getting her affairs in order. And they asked me to stay, since I had such a good relationship with the girls.
Nice.
Their father was in the middle of changing jobs, but he was letting them know, you're going to come live with me. So it wasn't I wouldn't say it was a smooth transition, but it was the best that everyone could do under the circumstances.
Yeah. So your book has a number of very just beautiful reviews, and it's just a lovely book. I don't know what else to say about it other than it's just, I hope everybody goes and grabs this and embraces your book and so forth. Do you mind if we talk a little bit about just you as a writer? So that,
no.
Because a lot of people listen to shows about authors and so forth because they feel like they have a book in them or a story that they want to get out, or, and some people are just very avid readers and love to hear what the author was really thinking and some of those things. So hopefully we've provided a little bit of that. But for the people who are writers who are listening, I'm wondering if you could talk about your writing process. And then also we had a couple questions that were sent to us prior to the show. People wanted to know about the different genres of books that you write and if you felt in particular you needed to stay in one lane or not, and why.
No, do not stay in a lane, because then you've restricted yourself. When you look at the, 18 plus books I've written, there is no specific genre. if you've got a good idea, go with it. You won't know if it's going to work until you start putting it down. And if it doesn't work, well, okay, you tried. But if you want to box yourself in, unless you're just really good at a certain topic and can keep bringing new ideas to it, well, then stick with it. But don't be afraid to branch out. I mean, I've done horror, you know, this true love story. Well, I've got three that are nonfiction, but then I've got alternative history. I've got science fiction. I've got a management book. I've got baseball books. Write what you love. And you're going to find out that you have a lot of interest that you might not even known about or had a passion about until you just don't box yourself in. That's my
key
best advice.
There. Yeah, no, it's great advice too. Write what you love is a great advice, because when you write what you love, it shows, and people love to read that. People love
yes.
to, you can tell when somebody has written something that they've loved writing.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and maybe hated it in moments. I noticed you were telling me kind of offline about the vampires in some of your books and character development. You have a knack for developing characters. Maybe you could explain a little bit about that and talk about the vampires that you wanted to, I don't know, they kept you up at night. Your own characters in your own books kept you up at night, I think.
Yeah, that group was pretty irritating, to say the least. I love World War II history, and Twilight had come out, so I asked Debbie's oldest, Jessica, if vampires were still hot. She said yes. So I thought about that for, I don't know, a month or two. Can you combine World War II with vampires? Obviously, they can't take down the Third Reich if you're going to follow the historical timeline. And I came up with one, and they're really not nice at all. This isn't Twilight. Nothing sparkles or whatever they did
yeah.
in that Twilight movie in the book, but they are the vampires of Bram Stoker, and it's two separate clans. They don't like each other. So I had to develop individual characters, and they all had to be different, and they had to have different backgrounds. So once I did the research into them, then I let the characters develop themselves, and they are all over the place. They really are. They don't like each other. They don't even like people in their own clan at times. And I let them develop themselves. That's the best I can say, because if I write for them, if I try and take over and write for them, you can read right through that. So if your characters aren't talking to you, don't write. Don't force it. I know what Stephen King said in his writing book. I read that. You start writing for them and you kill your own story. They'll come back to you. Just give them a chance. And if you get stuck, find something else to write about. Because sooner or later, they'll wake up and say, okay, we're ready. Let's move forward. Because I got in a battle in one chapter with all these clans. They wouldn't behave. And after 3 days of listening to them fight, I said, that's it. Either get it together or y'all going to die. I don't care. And they got it together, and I was able to finish the book. It just happens. That let me know, okay, I am the conduit for the characters. This is good. This is what I want.
Yeah.
That's the best advice.
It's great advice. Because, you know, I think about that. I love fiction writing and children's books and things like that, but I get a little bit stuck, you know, when I think about a character. I sometimes think about, okay, well, I'm going to take my whole office and put up, like, you know, huge sheets of paper with their name at the top and write down the characteristics of the character. And I'm like, no, that doesn't seem how people do character development either. Is there anything like that? Do you have like a notebook that says, okay, here's the character and here's all the things that they do or don't do, lines they'll cross or won't cross? Is there anything that structured in place behind a character or no?
No, because that restricts me.
Okay.
If I write down all their characteristics, then how do they grow? I mean, I've got, I don't know how many, 20 or something in this vampire series. I'm on the third book right now. and I do have to go back and refresh myself on them, but I don't have a list of these are their characteristics, because then I've boxed them in, and their character can't grow or diminish. They've got no room to maneuver. You've locked them in. Why would you want to do that? Same thing with my science fiction series. None of those characters. I can tell you what their traits are, but I can't tell you if they're going to develop and bring out more traits. And some of them do, and some of them don't. But that's, you know, I look at our relationships we have through life with people. And you might think you understand this, you know, Joe's character over there, and then he does something completely unexpected. Like, well, that's not the way he is. Well, obviously it is, because he just did it.
Yeah, and he moved off of my chart, didn't he? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that, you know, illustrates that point. Yep.
It's like marriage. You can be married 30 years and not know everything about your partner.
Yeah, very true.
You might think you do, but they'll do something and go, where'd that come from? I don't know. I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, or people change. Change. I mean, I've been married 22 years now, and I think that's the kind of the coolest thing about it, maneuvering with change and how people, you know, because my 28-year-old self is definitely different than my 50-year-old self. And, you know, maneuvering through all those different changes in years and everything, it's pretty neat if you can find two people who are super patient with each other to take a step back. And, you know, I can remember the look on his face when I said, guess what, I'm going to quit my job and start Best Ever You. He's like, what? And then about
five minutes
later, he's like, okay, epic, do it. You know, dealing with the change is a really neat thing about people. Yeah, because it was totally off my chart, right? Like, here's how she normally behaves, and boom, what? Right?
And he's just sitting there going, what'd she just say? What's she going to do? Oh, okay.
Totally. Yeah, the whole family was like, wow, what?
Well,
and
that's the way characters are in books.
Yeah, a light bulb just went off for me. So thank you for that. That's really helpful. I'll have to get that Stephen King book. I've heard about that. Is that a good one to?
It's okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
It was given to me, and I read it. And then you look at his books that he writes and how thick they are and how detailed they are. And it's like, but you're saying just write to the point. And it'll take you two pages to describe a tree in the forest. It does have some good information. I mean, that's one reason I read it. I'm not going to tell somebody, don't read it. But most of what he discusses is what we've gone over. It's
right.
Just do it. Just get out there and give it a go.
One of my favorite books is Dave Eggers. That's the author's name, Eggers. And he wrote the book, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. Have you ever heard of that book?
No,
that,
I haven't.
That probably is my all-time favorite book. Other than Gabe, one of my friends wrote a book called Live Like a Fruit Fly, and his name is Gabe Berman. So there are two books right there that I love. How about you? What are some of your favorite books? And don't let me forget to go back and talk through kindergarten with you. I want to know who you were in kindergarten.
Okay, but we're getting close to that 30-minute mark.
Yeah.
A Bridge Too Far.
Oh, great.
Is a great book and a great movie. Patton. That is a great book. And I've got, there so many, those are the two that always come to mind because of my World War II, my love for World War II history. I've got a list. At one time I had 850 reviews on Amazon, but Mr. Bezos and I are having a little debate over that. They wiped them all out, and it's like, this is not cool. Why did you do this? But since I started writing and the advent of the Kindle, I don't know, I've read let's just say over 1,000 books. There are a lot of good ones out there, and everything I read, I review. And if you can't find them on Amazon, they're all on Goodreads. So
yeah, I love Goodreads.
Those are the,
also.
Those are the first two, and I mean, I could talk an hour on all the other books that I really liked and didn't like, but.
Well, we're going to have you back on for sure. We are hitting that 30-minute mark, and we have a nice, clean audio show. But before we
which
go.
Which is good.
Yeah, at the moment. Let's keep it. Just jinx us and come back on stuff. You know how that goes. Before
yes,
we go.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's bring our listeners back to Love's True Second Chance, but also you have this awesome page on Amazon where you can find all of your books. I've got links to the show there. And then we've got a really nice written author interview with you on Best Ever You Books. Now we'll have an audio to go with. I'd like to ask you if maybe sometime in the next week you could do maybe like a video interview with me. I'm very rookie at it, so Jeff, you'll have to bear with me, but there's an app called Zoom that you can download to your phone, and I can record the video interview and put it up on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And we could do something like that. I think it would be a lot of fun for, you know, it's just another avenue where people learn about somebody else. Some people like to listen, some people like to read, and some people like to watch YouTube a lot. So I think we should go with it and try it if you have a moment in the next week, if you can do that.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Okay.
I believe I can.
Yeah, we'll both work our way through that technology moment.
Okay.
Right? So
yes, absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Well, it has been wonderful to get to know you a little bit better here on the Best Ever You Show. And I thank you for being with us. And I thank our listeners for being here with us. We have this community of people that I just am so proud of. There are 3,000 people in our Facebook group. There's a whole lot of people on Twitter and LinkedIn and just everywhere where we do shows like this. And I'm so grateful for you all because we bring somebody like Jeff here and his book, Love's True Second Chance. And you guys really follow him, get to know him, read his book, and include him. We're a very inclusive group, Jeff. we can introduce you to people on Twitter and they instantly are like, yep, you're part of the gang now. And that just makes me
very
so
cool.
Happy. Yeah, I love it. So thanks for telling us all about you and the meaning behind your book. I really appreciate you taking the time with us.
I thoroughly enjoyed it and look forward to the next one.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to Best Ever You. We're gonna go out and enjoy the snow here in Maine. I'll take a picture for you and put it on Twitter. There must be at least, you'll see. All right, everybody.
Keep,
have a great
keep
day.
Keep it up there. Just keep it up there. Don't bring it down south. Keep it up there.
Yeah, no. That turns into ice there. All right, everybody. Take
yes,
care.
It does.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.